KT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect.
Good afternoon. Welcome into the Power Ford Studios. Faith Family Ford, Power Ford, Jim Williams in studio with Dr. R. Downs. But before we get to Dr. Downs, I want to remind you, this weekend, Nick Vujicic will be at Calvary Albuquerque, July 20th and 21st. He'll be in the pulpit for Saturday and all three services on Sunday. Outstanding interview we had with him last week. Getting to know him was really, really neat. You may not know this, but Nick Vujicic was born without hands and without legs and no arms, and he has overcome these massive physical limitations, and God has used him to share the gospel with millions of people. Nick will be sharing his incredible life story with us all at all weekend services this weekend. So make sure you bring somebody with you, because Nick Vujicic is an inspirational guy. If you go to his website or anything, Google him, you'll see a plethora of materials out there, and it's hard to believe that the guy has accomplished all that he has. So Jim Williams in studio with Dr. Downs. Dr. Downs, the founder of R. Downs Nutrition Center, of course, retired, and now his son-in-law, Michael Lichtenberger, has kind of taken over the reins over there. Michael, a lot of expertise in particularly not just nutrition, but sports nutrition. Is that correct, Dr. Downs?
Yeah, he's a mountain biker, and before that he was a bodybuilder, and he's done lots of things like that, golfer. But he's very, very, very athletic, especially with mountain bikers. As my, have you ever seen anybody try to go downhill and do that mountain biking stuff?
Oh, yeah.
That,
absolutely,
to me is the, you have to sign off of that as a part of a mental illness, because these guys are crazy the way they ride.
Well, I've actually attempted some of going downhill, and I'm usually rolling, and it's not on the wheels of the bicycle.
Well, he's had a few good wrecks, but he is a really, really good mountain biker, and he has a really good education from the standpoint of nutrition, especially as it relates to sports nutrition. The interesting thing about him, I've been a clinician all my life and a researcher, but he knows more about, I knew how to fix things really good sometimes, but he knows the chemistry of why what I did works. And that was always shocking to me, that what I did, he knew how, why I did it and what it did better than me.
Outstanding. Well, we're going to go right to the word today. We're going to go to Romans chapter 14, and I want to read that first. And it talks a little bit about food and passing judgment. Let me read this for you. Now, accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgments on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. Again, we're not making a comment about vegetarians.
No.
Please listen to the whole verse. Verse 3, the one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats. For God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or fails, and will stand for the Lord, and will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not for the Lord does not, for the Lord he does not eat, and he gives thanks to God. For one, none of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live for the Lord, or if we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord. So I'm going to leave it there, and has a lot to do with what people eat and don't eat. It's cultural. A lot of people know that Jewish culture, they don't typically eat pork, among other things that are not considered to be kosher. But I know, Dr. Downs, a lot of Jewish people today who are not practicing kosher, and they eat kind of everything.
Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about how you view this verse and how it applies to our lives.
Well, one, if you read it, you'd have to read it two or three times, because it has some convoluted concepts in there. So I would have to, I just tear the thing apart and figure out what it really means from my perspective. And I've got lots of analogies as to why that particular verse, being non-critical of something, would be important today, because we have conflict in who people eat. Talk about one group will criticize you if you eat this group of feed, food. Go back historically and you'll find the people who ate garlic. So you had garlic eaters, and it was a class thing. So people who didn't smell like garlic were in this class, and people stunk like garlic were in another class. Then you had the cabbage eaters, people who stunk like cabbage. This goes back to poor versus rich. So somebody's always criticizing somebody from a political, a religious standpoint, and you have to end up making your own rules. I know several years ago, I had a family that I was taking care of, and the husband finally came in. He had a disorder that needed to be worked on. And he had been to a person who basically took a survey of everything he ate and then gave him a computer program that says, this is what you should be eating. And he looked at it and he says, I can't live this way.
Right.
So we then talked about the reasons why that from a traditional standpoint, he couldn't stand what he was looking at. It had nothing to do with his history, nothing to do with his race, nothing to do with anything that he'd ever learned from his grandparents. It was a brand new thing spit out by a computer, which was invented by a bunch of people who sat down in rooms and then came out with a program that said, you're supposed to eat this. Half a cup of this, a cup of this. So we discussed his diet. His favorite food in the whole world was, for breakfast, a bowl of beans with some red chili sauce with little pieces of pork in it. That's where he started. So what we did is we took the information from that, and we basically built a diet based on what he wanted that fit with current science. In other words, starting with the in the morning, and then the snacks, lunch, supper time. Everybody knows exactly what they want to eat, but we can improve a little bit on everything by simply interjecting some science into it and taking away some of the junky stuff. But we gave him exactly what he wanted to eat comfortably with, and we had, because he couldn't stand that. Well, we think about, I've got people criticizing somebody because they're vegetarians.
Right.
Well, they're just going to get a zinc and a B12 deficiency, which is easy to fix. Then you've got other people that are more into the broad spectrum of things. They don't like the vegetarians. They think they're freaky.
Right.
So everybody doesn't like anybody much. And we don't know enough about food and about things and about the chemistry of things to really get too excited about passing judgment on other people or what they eat. Every culture has certain things they like and certain things they hate.
Want to let everybody know as we're talking that if you'd like to talk to Dr. Downs about a supplement, a food substance, something that you're going through medically, we're not going to give you a medical diagnosis, but maybe talk to you a little bit about how supplementing when you're taking certain medications and so forth. The phone number here is 505-338-5790. I really wanted to talk about this because there's nothing bad with being a vegetarian, but there's also nothing bad with being a meat eater. There's all kinds of variations, and our culture today, I mean, advertising, if you just go on to Amazon and you type in nutrition, there's so many things that come up on those kind of searches, it's inconceivable to even read all of it.
Well, it can't be done because it's too complicated and convoluted. And you go back to the original sciences way back when, and if you follow history, you'll find that every so many years, everything changes. I'll give you one example.
Let's stop right here. We got to take a break and hear from some of our advertisers. Dr. R. Downs in studio with Jim Williams here on ABQ Connect. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Ben Lucero, president and owner of Indigo Mortgage, and we are your true locally owned and operated VA mortgage broker. As a broker, we have helped many veterans get into homes with little or no money out of pocket. This is done by lender credits. It works like this. Our rate is consistently 0.25% to 0.75% lower than other lenders in New Mexico. If we just match the rate of other lenders, we won't keep the profit on the higher rate. We turn that money over to the veteran. These lender credits can save the veteran thousands of dollars in closing costs. There is no reason lenders should be charging such high rates on VA loans. So I encourage all veterans looking to purchase or refinance to shop that mortgage around. Don't take a higher rate if you don't need to. And if you do, let us pay your closing costs. Call Indigo Mortgage at 836-5700. That's 836-5700. Or on the net at indigomortgage.net. NMLS 188-34.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. Power Ford is known for giving you a better deal and a better experience. We're also known for having one of the largest and most diverse selections of pre-owned vehicles in the state. Plus, Every vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and roadside assistance. That's right. Every vehicle, new and pre-owned, gets 100,000 worry-free miles of protection. Visit MyPowerFord.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque. On Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Since the Bible is the Word of God, since it does reveal the character of God, since it alone describes salvation and eternal life, since all these things are true of God's Word, how important is it to know what every word of Scripture means? Hi friends, John MacArthur here. There's only one way to tap into the power of Scripture, and that's by immersing yourself in it regularly. Every day on Grace to You, we unpack the Bible verse by verse, precept upon precept. And there's no better way to spend 30 minutes of your day. So join us here on this station for Grace to You.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on KNKT. You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Good afternoon and welcome into ABQ Connect. Jim Williams live in studio with Dr. R. Downs. Our phone number is 505-338-5790. Dr. Downs has been a practicing clinician in nutrition for many years. He has owned the R. Downs Nutrition Center, which is still open at 7400 Montgomery Northeast. His son-in-law, Michael Lichtenberger, has taken over that establishment. And I want to compliment one more time. When you go into the store, the people that work in R. Downs are very knowledgeable, Dr. Downs. They really help
that.
You. They
I
really help
that.
You.
Well, Mike has a degree in health science and is well studied, and that makes it good.
Absolutely.
If you ever did a search of the Bible and looked at the foods of the Bible and the herbs of the Bible?
I have not. That sounds like a great study.
Well, it's a good start for what was created back then and written back then as being very important. Now, if you look at, from a cultural standpoint, any particular food that you may think about, a bean, and look about the worldwide, all those plants have genetically modified themselves, not been done in a laboratory, to grow in that particular area of the world. And then the cultural people that surround that food has been consuming the same thing for generations. Now that can be bad, like in a place in Mexico, for example, people were getting viruses really, really bad in this little remote area. Very bad. They get sick. Well, the analytical part of what was wrong with them came to the conclusion that they had a deficiency of lysine because the soil plus the growing had absented lysine from the process of production. So when they basically found a lysine corn to grow, and all the virus problems went away. I mentioned the Sichuan province in China with selenium deficiency in the soil. Cardiac myopathy went away when they supplemented the soil with that. So everything is modified and genetically programmed by nature of that particular area to grow certain things or not grow certain things. And the people who live there consume all of those things, and there is an adaptation process no different than many people who can eat a bowl of beans and they will get terminal bloat. Mm-hmm. But you have cultures that eat the beans all the time that their body has adapted to that and developed the enzymes necessary to digest it. So all these things have to be considered from that standpoint. And probably one a fairly decent example of this is in the island of Crete. You have people there in the blue zone. And this article basically just dissected the people of Crete in these villages and the ones who lived over 100 years old. Now, this has been done all over the world. Why do these people live over 100 years old? Well, it's not just the food, which is grown in that area, and they've genetically adapted to that. Everybody can adapt to almost anything. Mm-hmm. Now, when somebody says about adaptation, I always point to if you're bringing in relatives from the Midwest and you take them to the top of Sandia Crest, mm-hmm. and they walk around for a while. I've had relatives do this, and they got weak, they got dizzy, had to go sit in a car and let's go because they went from sea level to high level and the oxygen of their body was deprived because the red cells couldn't keep up. Mm-hmm. So that's called a genetic adaptation. Mm-hmm. You have to adapt to that. And this is true with every plant you could possibly think of, and people too. But these people basically followed a rule of eating the things that were native to their area. They didn't have a giant supermarket. They had shops. You had the baker. You had the person who grew the grapes. Somebody made the wine. Somebody did this. And all that, everybody ate pretty much the same thing. And it was one other factor, too, that I want to bring in attention, that talk about good food, is that these people, essentially, would leave their homes in the evenings, go to the center square in many cases, sit down at tables and talk to everybody, drink some little teeny glasses of wine, play dominoes, and they had been playing this domino game and drinking the wine and socializing for centuries in the same area. Everybody knew everybody. So there was very little conflict. There was very little politics because they were off in the boondocks. There was very little hatred. There was very little religious animosity. And they had learned to adapt not only the food, but also adapt to getting along with people. And I think that food, whole food is important. Whole herbs are important. Everything that was created is important. And understanding the chemistry of those plants is important. Now, one of the big problems we have today in today's society is when you take certain medications or if you take certain food preservatives. I have a new research source on food additives altering gut bacteria, which causes some really nasty problems. So when I talk about something like that, I always get my research done. Mm-hmm. Then one of my friends has some gastric problems, and so we found that he was taking a particular blood pressure medication, which altered the bacterial flora, which caused him to have some problems with digestion.
Right.
So that has to be compensated for. So we've got the food chain. The food chain is there. Every single food was meant to nourish us in some way, shape, or form.
But let me ask you a question related to what you're talking about now. So bodies adapt to the region or the geography in which they live.
If you allow enough time.
Okay, well, here's an example. And every time you turn around, there's a new promotion of some natural food. You know, they put natural in quotes. So here's an example. A couple of years ago, a lot of people were espousing eating apricot kernels because somewhere, I believe, near Tibet, apricot kernels, which are the
cyanide.
They produce a poison that if you eat enough of these actually somehow kills cancer cells in your body. Now, is something like that possible?
They were talking about laetril and other types of chemicals. I have never even thought about that type of thing, except way back when I said, don't do that. don't eat apricot kernels. That doesn't make a lot of sense. And the same thing with apple seeds. I don't eat apple seeds. It has some cyanide molecules. I was told as a child, don't eat the seeds by my step-grandmother. Don't do that. And I didn't. So there's also the good and there's also the bad. But if you take apart chemistry and look at, for example, what Anderson Clinic in Houston did years ago, they researched broccoli. They used broccoli extract. Then they used whole broccoli. Then they used sprouted broccoli extract. And they found that if you consume that on a regular basis, daily basis, the 5-year survival rate on breast cancer is vastly improved. So every single food is not only has its components as whole, but also has components within it that has specific beneficial effects on the human body. In the case of broccoli, you have sulforaphane, indole-3 carbonyls, which have been proven to fix things. So every single plant and every single thing, herb, spice, as a purpose distinctly beyond what you think. But way back when, nobody knew anything about this. So you eat whole foods. Then they learned how the chemistry of these things all changed. And when you mess with things too much sometimes, you can make severe mistakes.
Sure.
I mentioned going back to Napoleon's time when he couldn't feed his troops butter. He paid a guy to figure out how to manufacture marjoram, which is called later, out of beef tallow, a chemical process to make it hard. Then they used an herb called annatto to make it look like butter. It wasn't butter. Then we had margarine in this country. During that era with margarine, people said, quote, butter will kill you or cause your arteries to plug up and mess you up really bad. But this miracle food, margarine, is what you should be doing. So the companies paid people to say that. So professionally, everybody pushed margarine and ignored butter. Butter was bad. Same thing with eggs. We'll go into that in just a minute. So
let's come back after this break. Okay. And we're going to talk about, I want you to clarify, you know, the the comparison between butter and margarine.
Okay.
So more with Dr. R. Downs when we get back. 505-338-5790 is our phone number if you'd like to talk to Dr. Downs. We'll be right back.
Life can take an unexpected turn in your home or business by fire or flood. As a result, you may have mold problems. Let the experts put your mind at ease with a quick response from locally owned water extraction experts. They'll provide service within the hour, are available 24/7 for emergencies, and work with all insurance companies. Professional, certified, and friendly technicians are here to do the job right the first time. Call the experts now at 505-250-6500 or visit them online at waterextraction.com. experts.com.
The 2019 Starrity 8 Golf Tournament, Saturday morning, September 21st, 8 o'clock at Santa Ana Golf Club. This four-person scramble will help Starrity 8 meet the 2019 budget, while a portion of the proceeds will benefit Albuquerque Christian Children's Home. Enjoy a day filled with golf and giveaways and godly fellowship. Breakfast is provided by Monroe's New Mexican Food. Lunch provided by Chick-fil-A. Sponsors are needed right now, and golfers will receive a discount for signing up early at star88.fm. /golf.
The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. Then it comes to an end.
Billy Graham.
You can have a good time in sex, in getting drunk. I'm told, and I see it on television, they seem to be having a good time. But there comes an end to it. There's an emptiness to it. It leaves a void. And you never get enough.
And the Bible says sin leads to spiritual death. But it also says there's some good news.
God is a God of love and mercy. Not because we deserve it, but because what Christ has done for us on the cross. By the cross and the resurrection, God has provided a way for you to have peace and joy and happiness in your heart.
If you surrender your heart to Jesus, He'll forgive your sins and give you a joy that nothing can take away. Learn more at findpeacewithgod.net. From the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect. Jim Williams in studio with Dr. R. Downs. And Dr. Downs, right before the break, we talked a little bit about how one minute somebody's saying butter's great for you. The next minute they're telling you that it's bad for you, but here's this miracle product called margarine.
Yeah.
You talked a little bit about the history of how that was formed. I want to clarify for our listeners, we're back now to being butter's better for you than margarine.
Yeah, but there's a variable there, too. When I was growing up, I was all raised on grass-fed butter from Grandma's house. When we moved away from there and went into really poverty, periodically Mom would bring home this bag of white stuff, plastic bag full of white, mushy stuff. And it had in the middle of the little plastic thing, your older people and listeners will know this, had a little round thing, which was very bright reddish orange. And then if you pop that little bubble, then you work this miracle thing until all this red and orange was mixed in with it, and now you had butter. Because there was a law that says you could not sell the stuff, which would compete with butter, unless it didn't look like butter. But you could make it look like butter by busting this little bubble. That's a fact. Well, doctors and scientists said back then that butter would cause arteriosclerotic plaquing. It was very bad for you. Margarine was good. So it was the new miracle concept of selling margarine. The propaganda and marketing of that was fantastic, and to this day it is still popular.
Still kind of carries over.
Carries over. Now, butter is composed of just the butter fats. The original butter that was made way back when was grass-fed cows. They went out and grazed, and they ate stuff. Then you got into feedlot-type butter production, where the molecular structure between the omega-3s and omega-6s was totally different. So butter today, I eat grass-fed butter. I eat butter from Finland. I'll eat it from Ireland. I'll eat grass-fed butter from California, just like I use grass-fed milk. And just like I use organic kefir every day to improve the bacterial flora of my gut so I can absorb my nutrients better every day, along with my greens first and my other things that I take.
So you're saying that grass-fed butter
is good.
Is good.
Is good.
Now compare that to margarine. Is margarine good?
Margarine has hydrogenation process, and if you look at the research very, very carefully, you'll find that doctors don't tell you that anymore because the hydrogenation process was not good for your arteries. It completely reversed in policy. Now, you remember, too, when eggs were okay, then you remember when eggs were poison. And they said, well, you, one egg a week, two eggs a week. Well, reflect on this. The butter produced by a cow is based on the food that is consumed by the cow, which then is used and incorporated into the molecular structure of the butter that is produced when you churn it. Mm-hmm. Same thing with an egg. The average egg in America right now is 15 to 1 omega-3 to omega-6, which means 6 on omega-6s, which is inflammatory, versus 1 on the 3s, which is anti-inflammatory, if you want to use that language. The higher the 6 goes, the worse it is for your arteries, perhaps, according to the research. So if you take an omega-3 egg, which you now buy popularly all over the place, you get more close to the 1 to 1, but not even near close, as you're supposed to be. The ratio between 6 and 1 in nature is usually about 1 to 1. Some authorities even take it up to 10 to 1. But 1 to 1 is really good, okay?
Okay.
So translate that to a feed formula used by Roseacre Farms in Cortland, Indiana, which is right close to Acme, where I was born. Millions of chickens produced there. They use a European formula that was custom designed and patented to give you a perfect one-to-one ratio when you feed the chicken this formula, which then produces an egg yolk, which is one-to-one. Now, they sell the eggs, which are just yucky ones, to places where you eat them. Then you go up the ladder of omega-3s till you get to the point where you get the good one, and that's obviously more expensive. Grass-fed means that you chickens run out there, and 40% of the diet may be bugs and grass.
So who's selling a good egg?
Well, you have to look at – there's lots of grass-fed, free-range stuff, and I just go through the choices until I find the yolk. And my guinea pig on eggs, the kind that are good – and I might dig up a brand for you – but is my wife.
Okay.
She has a sensitivity to eggs, which means if she eats the wrong egg, she gets bloat. And that's I'm sorry I talked to my wife like that. I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, when she goes down to Arkansas, they have grass-fed chickens. And they run around all over the place. Every day she can eat two eggs. The yolks on those are bright orange. Most of the eggs today are yellowish and a little orangey maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So you see on the labels, grass-fed, pasture-fed, those are usually pretty good. The word organic, we can debate that. But then the ones that have a specific amount of omega-3, I like, because at least you can see something on there that they're headed in that direction. So I have a tendency to buy organic eggs.
So up until 4 or 5 years ago, you'd go to Whole Foods or Sprouts, and they sell a lot of organic produce.
Yeah.
Eggs, dairy, egg, milk, all the dairy products that are organic versus inorganic. But now when you go to Smith's, Albertsons, any of the general grocery stores, you're seeing organic sections.
Yes.
So tell me what your recommendation there. Should people spend the money on organic?
Well, that would be nice if you would do that, if you have the money to certainly do that, because that means that there is a certain level of hopeful expertise in making things very healthy. And they use less pesticides. But even though that apples, for example, may be called organic, they still use stuff sometimes that are approved.
Mm-hmm.
And My personal feeling on this is this, that is, if I follow the rules followed by my stepfather and my mom and my grandparents, they grew corn that was hybridized, and they put some stuff on there in the later years that was questionable in my opinion. In the early days, it was all manure. But then the garden, nothing ever touched it.
Mm-hmm.
That garden was pure. They said, this is the corn we eat from the garden, but we don't eat that. We don't eat field corn. They'll eat corn from the garden, because that was done with the right fertilizer, and it was done differently. But I could never get an explanation. Why don't you eat the field corn? Well, it's not real corn because it was genetically modified.
Right.
But it was real corn, but it was just modified. But you have to take the vegetables, and you have to weigh what you can afford versus what is logical, and there's lots of lying out there as to what is good or bad. But one thing you can do is to take your vegetables and your berries or your fruits or whatever and make sure that you clean them really good, because you don't know who's touched them. You don't know what kind of pesticide is on there. So I have a tendency to throw all my stuff. Like in one of the cases, I shred the lettuce. I'm going to make sure I wash it 2 or 3 times. But it's pre-washed, but I'm going to do it again. And I'm going to make sure on some of the stuff, when I throw it in there, like avocados, you want to wash them. Because I don't know who's touched those things. You go into a store and watch the avocado section. You'll see hands all over the place squeezing and picking them up.
Yes.
That's why I like to buy mine in bags way in the back.
There you
because
go.
Because the touching. And so I wash them. I just put them in a big glass bowl and I throw them in there. And I then put some soap in.
Well, no matter if it's organic or inorganic, you have to wash everything.
You have to wash the stuff, and you want to get something that is biodegradable. I use, right now, I've got a bottle of Shackley's Basic H. One of those little bottles will last you for years. And this, I don't do what they say, which is a couple drops. I just take a squirt because I put it in this little bottle that's used for ketchup.
Uh-huh.
I just squirt some in there, wash it around, and wash it off. And take them out and dry them off. Makes me feel more comfortable doing that. I always wash my tomatoes. And I want to clean everything that I eat. I got some leaf lettuce the other day, and I put it in a big bowl, and I was going to ice it down real good. And I pre-cut it, put it in there, and I just kept washing it and washing it because stuff keep coming off of it, dirt. I didn't even hardly see the dirt. I think I knew the glassless because I like washed things, but I want to use a little soap sometimes to get rid of the residuals. But you don't have to get unbelievably ridiculous or nasty with this. You just want to clean that stuff. If I want to have a baked potato, I'm going to scrub it. I want everything to be clean as a pin. The temperature will kill anything left over, but I want it to be clean, and I don't want anything on there that's funny looking or any chemical that is residual.
We'll have more with Dr. R. Downs right after these messages. Please call us at 505-338-5790 if you have a question for Dr. Downs. We'll be right back on ABQ Connect.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
This is a Fresh Thought. Listen up to Levi Lusco.
So we're living stones, but we're also earthen vessels. That's what this passage says. We're God's home, yes. And that's how they become connected, because yes, we're God's home, but listen, we are his home made out of mud, made out of earth. Now, in the most literal sense, this is actually biologically true. If you look at what composes our body, it is very much the same as the ground, and that's why we so easily, after we die, we return ashes to ashes, finish it with me if you know it, and dust to dust. That's how we started out, y'all. Talk about started from the bottom, now we're here. Genesis chapter 2 puts it this way. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. You can picture him there gathering the dust into a pile. And then what did he do? He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life.
For more Fresh Thoughts, go to LeviLusco.com.
You're to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Jim Williams in studio with Dr. Downs. Thanks for joining us here this afternoon on ABQ Connect. Dr. R. Downs, the founder of R. Downs Nutrition Center at 7400 Montgomery Northeast. They're still around, but Dr. Downs is enjoying a little time with us on the radio, but going fishing and having fun. Is that what I understand you're doing?
Don't fish.
No fish.
Don't shoot animals.
No?
Don't fish. Now, if I was starving, I would, but I don't. Now, the washing stuff, I think, is critically important to remember that you need to wash everything and clean it because you don't know what's touched it. You don't know anything about how the production was done. I don't care whether it's called organic or inorganic. If you have dirty hands.
Especially the vegetables, because a lot of those were havoc raw.
And apples. I mean, apples have a lot of pesticides on them. And if you look at the standards in the literature of which ones have, strawberries are not good either, having lots of bad things on them during the production process. So, but when you have strawberries, you just have to put them in water, soak them, put a little squirt of that stuff on it, and let them set for a while. And that biodegradable stuff will eat any grease or fatty stuff off there and clean it really good. You just take them out and dry them.
Nice.
It's a cleaning process. Now, some people use citric acid. Some people use this. Some people, Clorox, don't do that. Don't do that. Peroxide, don't do that. Something like Amway's LOC, Low Suds. Works good. It's a biodegradable coconut-based soap. Or Shackley's Basic H. Works really good. Cleans them up really nice. Mm-hmm. And it just takes water and a little bit of soap. And the soap has no residual. You just wipe it. You just rinse it off. It does have no residual.
Where's the R. Downs recipe book?
At one time, I was going to write this stuff up and do formulas. My formulas for chicken soup and for green pea soup and stuff is my own. It's a radical approach, but it works. And I want to mention after about cleaning these things up. The other one is, I mentioned the last program, 150 herbs and spices that have been specifically identified as having antimicrobial effect. Remember, they're giving thyme to chicken because of its thymol content and its antibiotic properties to prevent chickens from having bad things go wrong with them instead of giving them antibiotics. Thyme is an antimicrobial. And there's 150 of them that you can speak of. Rosemary, basil, thyme, cilantro. All these things have antimicrobial properties that have been documented in a laboratory by a scientist because they really, really want to get and find things that can substitute. Very popular in Japan, for example, is extracts of rosmaric acid, which you get from oregano and from rosemary, which is antimicrobial. It kills bugs.
Mm-hmm.
So all these things are important. So if you follow, even from a biblical standpoint, I used to write diets years ago based on the Old Testament nutrition. But anyway, you basically want to make sure your food is as whole as you can get, and I use that word as you can get, as reflecting the food the animal is fed, and you want the herbs to go in it. You want them to be clean. You want to do all those things that follow a natural pattern that goes back even thousands of years. If you ask yourself the question, how did people preserve food and keep food from killing you going back centuries? And there is a difference between the rich people, what they did, and versus the poor people. Poor people, usually back then, if you go to the European concept, is they used lots and lots of salt to preserve everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the more wealthier people could afford buying spices from the food trade coming from the Mediterranean, say into Central Europe or Upper Europe near Russia, and they would eat differently. And that would be more herby. But you had to preserve it. How do you get ice in a location that has no ice? How do you preserve food? And we know now the research that some of the preservatives actually call colon cancer. It's not very good. Recent research is kind of scary on a few things they use. But anyway, you always want to think about what this stuff is used for and why they used it. It's not just because it tastes good. It's used to cover up, well, like in England, putrid food sometimes, but it's to kill microbes and to preserve the meat. That's why they canned it. That's why they put vinegar on it. That's why they put herbs and spices on it, is to preserve the food and prevent bad things from growing. I was raised with that the second grade through seventh or eighth grade before we got electricity and water. And so I'm well aware of how they did those things. But the important thing is to remember that if you go online to verify these things, just type in antimicrobial foods. Antimicrobial herbs and spices, and it will kick out a bunch of stuff written by experts as to why you would use these things. And oregano, basil, thyme, rosemary, and my favorite is marjoram. I like the flavor of marjoram. It has a mild oregano taste, but much milder. Much, much milder, where it fits my palate. And basil. Basil is a central nervous system stimulant. I like that. Dill. I love the taste of dill.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those things have antimicrobial influence. That's why they were used for centuries. And it took hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years, maybe, from one generation to figure out if you do this with this.
So are you suggesting you use these herbs and spices in
everything.
Cooking?
In everything.
And will that make it last a little longer for leftovers in your refrigerator?
Or? Well, I give everything a four-day window in my refrigerator, and it's gone.
Okay.
That's about it. I mean, I get nervous. Now, that's a bias that is reflective of what my mom did.
Right.
It goes way back. It had everything had a four-day window.
Any danger in keeping things in the freezer too long?
Well, it doesn't taste good after about 6 months on some stuff.
Right.
It tastes pretty grody.
Right.
It gets freezer burn. I don't care if you wrap it up, whatever. It doesn't. There's a life on everything that you put in there, and you can go online and find out what that life is. Mm-hmm. But I've left things in there too long sometimes, and you don't want to eat it.
Right.
And I've wrapped it with freezer paper. I put it in a Ziploc bag for freezers. And it still, after a period of time, will not taste as well as it should. It's like if you go into a restaurant, for example, one day you'll get some barbecued ribs.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be that day's worth, and it'll be absolutely delicious. The next time you go in there, whoa, these ribs are not the same. Because it's ribs that have been done one day, and it may be refrigerated one or two or three days. And then they cook them again, put the barbecue sauce on, it's not the same.
Now, are there dangers today if you are a typical meat eater? And you eat a little bit of meat, a little bit of vegetables, a little bit of dairy and so forth, and you become a vegetarian.
Yeah.
And I know there's different types of vegetarians, like in lacto-ovo, where they will eat just vegetables, but they'll also eat dairy products.
Fine.
So is there a danger in not getting certain nutrients?
Well, there's always
that.
Yeah, I've always tell people, if you want to really be an expert on that, go to the Seventh-day Adventist diet concept. Mm-hmm. They've been doing it for years and years and years, so they're really good at it. Now, the two most common things that you lose in most vegetarian diets, which can be easily replaced, is B12, which can cause a form of anemia, makes you fatigued, tired, worn out, run down and beat, and also have some severe mood changes, mm-hmm. which is easy to compensate for with rice bran powder incorporated in your diet, which is the original B vitamin formula used to treat B vitamin deficiencies, especially identified after World War II. So the point being on that is easy to compensate. Now, zinc is very rich in pumpkin seeds. So if you eat pumpkin seeds, and you can calculate that, how many you have to eat to get 15 milligrams of zinc, that will compensate for the zinc deficiency that is induced by not having certain things in your diet. Pumpkin seed is a really good, is a good substitute for a lot of things. A lot of nuts and seeds have a good amount of zinc, but you can look up zinc content of nuts and seeds. And then you eat your zinc, you compensate for the risk, and you go about your business. Everybody has a dietary bias. My bias is based on what I was taught growing up. And then I've read books from the Oxford Book of Historical Nutrition. I've read all those books one time or the other. And they tell a story that is different than what a lot of people think.
Well, I've got a few more questions for you about vegetarian diets, but
okay.
We're going to take a quick break to hear from some of our sponsors. 505-338-5790 is our phone number. If you'd like to talk to Dr. Downs this afternoon, we'll be right back on ABQ Connect.
This Hope Christian School update presented by Dream Style Remodeling. For 37 seasons, Coach Jim Murphy has been on the bench for a Hope Christian School Husky Boys basketball team. The result? 16 state championships and a record number of 800 career wins. The New Mexico Sports Hall of Fame will be inducting Coach Murphy at their upcoming banquet. Dream Style Remodeling makes the celebration of the impact, career, and incredible legacy of Coach Jim Murphy and the Hope Huskies. Look for banquet details at HopeChristianSchool.org.
Hey, Boudicke, Car Spa here. In the car care cleaning arena, Flex Service means one-stop everything. From express washing with courtesy vacuuming to our legacy full service and express and high-end detailing. We simply do it all at one stop, and we're the locals that have been doing it right for 46 years. We invite you to come and wash with us on the west side at our new Car Spa Flex West at 5401 Sevilla and Coors, across from Ginger's. See what you've been missing. Your car will be glad you did.
People have always been fascinated with forecasting the future. From physics to horoscopes, it's easy to find someone willing to tell and sell their prediction of what's ahead. But only God knows what the future holds. And we want to give you an exciting glimpse into his plans for your future and the end times. When you give today, we'll send you three incredible resources. Skip's exclusive interview with biblical prophecy expert Joel Rosenberg and a recent teaching from Joel. Plus, Skip's book, You Can Understand the Book of Revelation. Listen in as Skip and Joel Rosenberg discuss eye-opening developments in the Middle East.
We are both the most endangered country in the world, Israel is, and feeling more secure than ever in human history. That's a conundrum.
And dive into the Book of Revelation with Pastor Skip to make sense of what the Bible says about end-time events. Get your copies of these insightful resources when you give today to help expand the Bible teaching outreach of Skip Heitzig. Give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer or call 800-922-1888.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect.
And welcome back to ABQ Connect. Jim Williams from the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford, Power Ford. Dr. R. Downs in studio with me talking about nutrition. And I wanted to ask you a question about something my friends are experiencing right
okay.
now. I've got a couple friends of mine in their late 50s experiencing some gout.
Okay.
And it kind of freaks you out because all of a sudden you wake up and your leg is really hurting. You can't even step on it. It's a stinging sensation. Where's that coming from and what can you supplement to help you with it?
Well, some people get gout more from a genetic standpoint more than others. You go back historical, you see these cartoons of a pot-bellied rich guy sitting in a chair with his foot on there wrapped up. He had gout because he was eating high purine rich foods. Then you had the poor guy over here, skinny as a rail. Well, he couldn't eat those kind of foods. These other guys were eating tons of meat and purines. Well, first of all, if you have a condition like that, you want to identify what is a protein or a purine and why you should cut back on it if you have gout. A purine is, you can get a list. There's high purines you should get off of. There's medium purines, and then there's lower, almost non-existent purines. So when you have an attack or something like this, and understand that uric acid can accumulate from eating those type of foods, then the first thing you want to do is cut them down. But once those crystals have got in your tissues, it takes a long time to get them out. They're cutting. They'll bite you. They're nasty. They're evil. And so you have to have a time of getting rid of the foods that cause it. So get yourself a high purine diet, low purine, and a medium purine chart. That diet will tell you which ones to avoid, the bad ones. Then you eat at the bottom of the totem pole for a while. Drink lots of water. I always prescribed a good magnesium-rich mineral water, like Gerresteiner, because magnesium goes against the calcium urates that occurred. Your blood test will tell you what's normal. And then you also need a urine analysis to find out what is coming through you, the urates. Make sure you do a microscopic. It'll tell you how bad things are. Now, if we've got time, I'll tell you a story from Las Vegas.
Okay.
James Duke was a famous researcher. He was old when we met him, but he'd been working for the Department of Agriculture for 30 years and going down to the Amazon all the time. Well, he got gout. And so they gave him a drug for gout, getting rid of the gout. And it caused some really massive side effects because he liked to drink cheap beer, which then caused the purine levels to go up and gave him more gout. Mm-hmm. So he did his research on celery seed and found that there was a chemical comparison to allopurinol. And so he invented celery seed extract. And so every day he took celery seed extract and ate four stalks of celery for the chemical in celery that pushes out uric acid. And then he took tart cherry pills, which is very anti-inflammatory. So he used those. And in the beginning, it was like one four times a day for the other. And then he would cut the dosage down, and so he could still drink cheap beer. But anyway, that was I just thought it was interesting because it cracked up in a restaurant listening to this guy, who was probably the most famous herbalist in the world at the time, talking about that kind of stuff and doing a few things in the jungle and those traditional remedies they use down there to put you in another metaphysical world. But this guy was the smartest guy I ever met when it comes to herbs. The chemistry of it. I've got several of his books. One of the books cost me $300 to buy his book on the chemistry of dill, for example, with a whole list of chemicals and what it does to the central nervous system and all these things. He was a master at chemistry, and his purpose was to develop a understanding of which herbs could be pulled out into a pharmaceutical model. Because that's where you get your money.
Right.
So that's what he did. Four stalks of celery every day, which has a chemical in it. So if you read or pipe in, how do I do that? Well, then just type in gout, celery, / tart cherries, gout. That will tell you what to do. But most people will take the drug. The doctors minimize the need for absenting yourself from purine foods for a while. I believe in, I don't use the word detox, but sort of cleaning your system out by unexposing yourself to the purine foods, like beans is high purine. Meats is high purine.
Now, I understand red meats are high purine.
Well, a lot of things are. Everything's got a real, anything that's got a protein molecule that resembles this particular thing will be a problem to you sometimes. So that's why you publish the list of this, so you can actually see what you should avoid for a while. And the reason why I use the magnesium water, mineral water, because it's simple, it's cheap, and you drink it. And it gives you a magnesium hit against the calcium urates that are causing this particular problem going through your kidneys. It just is another area of cleansing that you can do. Tart cherry has been around for centuries. It doesn't hurt anybody. You can eat tart cherry pie, add stevia to it. Or you can take tart cherry pills or black cherry pills. Anti-inflammatory and works really good in this particular condition. Does it cure it? No. And the celery is the same thing. I just found it so fascinating that this scientist would develop a pill that actually would remove gout from people that was so simple. But he knew the chemistry. He had broken it down to every chemistry, every chemical in celery. And so if you flush yourself out with water, take the drug if you want to. If it doesn't bother you, that's fine too. But you got to go on the diet. The diet then clears things out, and then you use blood tests and maybe urinalysis testing on a consistent basis to find out what your levels are as far as uric acid in your tissues. That's critical. And then you want to stay below the midline because you have a natural tendency. But you also find that people who are severely stressed have a tendency to get gout. Now, but you have 100 people under the same conditions, only a few will get gout, even if you ate the same diet. So there has to be a predisposition factor somewhere. And stress is one of the big things in gout. Stress, tension, anxiety, all those things all play a part. And that's why I think that you have to look at all kinds of things when you're trying to treat a gout problem.
But something that's consistent over the last three times we've met is you have to drink water.
Water,
you have
yeah.
to hydrate and keep yourself, and that helps avoid a lot of
things. A lot of things. And this is especially important if you're an older person, you're on a diuretic type drug for blood pressure, and you're also on a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory because you hurt, then you dehydrate. If you dehydrate, you stress your kidneys. You stress your kidneys. Damage, dialysis, nasty. Mm-hmm. So water is a big solution to a lot of things, and we don't drink that much. And I like, I admit, I like iced tea. I like tea in general, and I drink a lot of liquids, but I like mineral water really well.
Sure. Well, and maybe there's some more things we can talk about, elder maintenance and so
forth.
That's
important.
When we come back, one more segment with Dr. Downs.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Here's Joy Junction CEO, Alma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless men, women, and children for 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have our new additional rooms and a separate space for single men and single women. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org. Do you have an old clunker sitting there collecting dust, rust, and weeds? Donate it to Joy Junction. We would be glad to take it off your hands. Doesn't matter what condition, running not required. We'll take it. Just contact us. We'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help?
This is John Greenhut, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. Even better, there's no messy strips or trays that you'll have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-679-0969. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-679-0969. That's 1-800-679-0969.
Following Jesus means freedom from sin, but it doesn't mean freedom from hardship. Well, imagine the hardship of being born without arms and legs. Nick Wojcik gave his life and his body to Jesus, a body with massive physical limitations, and God has used him to share the gospel with millions all over the world.
Know that we are not alone and we need each other. We need to uplift this message of hope around the world, to know that we are one. The body of Christ is one, and together we can hold each other. We can uplift each other. We can support each other. We can encourage each other.
Despite his disability, Nick has overcome life's challenges through the hope he found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. From sold-out stadiums to the halls of solitary confinement prisons, Nick has shared a message of hope in nearly 70 countries. Nick will share his incredible story at Calvary Chapel of Albuquerque, July 20th and 21st. Bring someone with you to hear Nick Wojcik. Find out more at calvarynm.church. On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect.
Nutritionist Dr. R. Downs in studio with Jim Williams this afternoon on ABQ Connect. If you have a question here in our final segment for Dr. Downs, our number is 505-338-5790. Dr. Downs, we're talking about gout a little bit.
Okay.
A couple friends of mine battling that, and there are some low purine foods that they ought to introduce into their diet.
Yeah, what you do is you get a chart. You just punch in the numbers, or you can go to your doctor and get a chart, or you can stop off at R. Downs and have them print you off a copy of high purine foods. It's real simple. Anything on gout.
And you want to stay away from high purine
foods.
Well,
you want, at least initially. This is not necessarily a lifetime diet, but if you're tacking a problem, and part of the problem is high purines in your food supply, and is causing your problem, would you not want to reduce that and cut it way back for a while?
Absolutely. But I also want to talk about the cleansing part that you mentioned. There's some things that they ought to be doing. They ought to be drinking mineral water.
Well, water in general, but mineral water is what I like. And it's usually Gerresteiner or high magnesium mineral water. And I like that and just flood the system out. It has nothing to do with anything weird. You're just drinking water because most people don't drink enough to keep that flushed out. But you want to identify all the foods that may contribute. If you're going to be drinking a lot of beer, you're going to get gout if you're a gout person. And so you have to avoid all of those things that have an effect for a while. Then you talk to the doctor about the blood testing, what number normals should be, a urine test, find out what your levels are, anything. You want to find out everything you can about it. But if you don't cut back on the things that may be contributing to it, but then you go another step further beyond the food thing. Why do you eat black cherries, red cherries, tart cherries, and other types of anti-inflammatory foods? Because when you scratch up tissue, it becomes inflamed and it hurts.
Yes.
So this is a good way of taking natural occurring anti-inflammatories in your system that actually taste good. I mean, you don't have to take anything weird and eat four stalks of celery a day, is what I usually prescribe, and take some celery extract pills. That's what I always prescribe. There's been no death by overdose of celery.
And celery extract pills can be purchased at Ardown's?
Yeah, but it's just seed extract. He had invented by James Duke. He did all the original research on that and come up with that as it relates specifically to his problem. And I thought that was so unique that he had the brains to be able to do that. But again, when you pay a book fee that is so astronomical for his knowledge, it tells you the chemistry of all the foods, what causes almost an amphetamine-like effect in a salad dressing. I thought that was funny.
Mm-hmm.
And all the different chemicals of what they do, antimicrobials, and, oh, just everything. And he did a lot of work on colchicine, autumn crocus, and things like that, which was one of the original gout things way back when. And came from a plant, by the way, colchicine. The fun is this, is researching something as it applies to you and learn how to counteract it. Because right now, you just simply here, take this. You've got a condition, here, take this. Well, sometimes there's side effects with that you have to back off sooner or later. But even if you took a drug, even if it controlled your problem at the moment, and even if you got over it later, you have to anticipate the probability you're going to get it again. So if you take preventative actions by watching the purines in your diet, drinking plenty of liquids, for example, keeping the anti-inflammatories going in, eating your celery, and what do you do when you put in, I use celery powder, I use celery salt, I use celery in almost everything. Now, the only time I don't use a lot of meadow celery is with pregnant women. I'll go into that another subject. I don't use a lot of red clover either with pregnant women. Not good, not good. The concept is once you have a problem and you can identify something that you can modify in your life that will make you better than you should.
Yes.
And if it works, it works. And if it don't, it don't. That's
and
the rule.
And I don't know many people that have an aversion really to celery.
No, it's not a problem.
Now, if you told me we had to eat beets, and that I'd probably have whatever the ailment is because I will not eat beets.
I understand that, and I respect it completely, and I will show you a powder one of these days that have beets in it, and I use it every day, and it may make you a little miserable, but that we'll have to deal with that. Now, when you talk to your friends about things like that, you always talk about get it fixed, whether it be a drug therapy or whatever therapy, or even some natural approaches complementary. There's no indications against celery seed or the anti-inflammatories in cherries if you're taking a drug anyway. It doesn't matter. Then you have to modify your behavior. But then you also have to look at what are the other causes of gout? What will contribute to this problem and make it worse? And they will all tell you stress, tension, anxiety, all those things will affect it.
Right.
And so I try to do a little bit of everything I can that is reasonable to do that won't hurt anybody to get these things done. Because we have in this world, whether it be food, preservatives, all kinds of pesticides, herbicides, and everything else in our environment that just screws up a lot of things. So I don't even like the word detox, by the way. They say, I want to cleanse my body. Well, I can do that with guar gum. I can do that with fiber. I can do that with prunes.
Dr. R. Downs in studio with Jim Williams. He'll be back with us on Thursday, the 25th. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you to Andrew Banks for putting this all together for us. We'll see you tomorrow.
ABQ Connect is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any part of today's show, get the free podcast at knkt.com.